Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Well, El Jefe has found our shoes, and he has put them on Twitter, Nick, so that you know, along with Barry, how you need to locate them, because they are there for you. It is the shoe of the show. We have one in the books, two to go. We got two more hours to go. We're not going to keep this all Texans. We're going to keep this kind of fun-centric, so you guys can talk about whatever you want to talk about. The main thing that we want to talk about is the pertinent issues that are going on in sports. And we've covered Andre. We covered the Texans a little bit, but, I mean, how many times can you cover and uncover that? I mean, as they say, Travis, I mean, the good thing is they got a W out of the deal. But other than that, I mean, you can put window dressing, wrapping paper, and a bow on a pile of crap. It still looks like a pile of crap at the end of the day.
No question.
Offensively, they still look crappy.
Yeah, they do. I mean, when you look at what they put out there and the product, when you talk about tight end getting involved, yeah, the tight ends were involved. When you talk about the receivers, yeah, DeAndre Hopkins got out of that slump, if you want to call it, especially since baseball season, I call it a slump, of not really catching too many balls and not really getting many yards. But, I mean, the offense was what it was. It's leaving us to be desired for more. Like, we want more. And they aren't giving it to us. They are at nothing. There's nothing they're giving us.
And again, I mean, are you guys okay with the fact that this team's probably going to win the division? They're probably going to lose in the first round again. They're going to do what they need to do in the worst division in football to at least experience the postseason, but they're nowhere near going to where you want them to go, and they're nowhere near satisfying the expectations that I think a lot of people had going into this season. It's a problem. But does it get better? Is there any chance for it to get better between now and the end of the season? Because you know the schedule for them gets a lot tougher. And there's still a lot of games. Look, there are games that at the start of the year we were guaranteeing victories and thought that wasn't even going to be a discussion. But now there's going to be games that are going to be really tough for them.
Well, yeah.
Jacksonville, you should steamroll, right? But
you should. But
there's a big but in the picture.
There's a big but. And I'm not talking about mines. I mean, When you
like big butts, but they cannot lie.
Exactly. But and I said but again. There's nothing guaranteed with what this offense is. There's nothing guaranteed with what this defense is. I mean, they showed up yesterday. I think they gave DJ Reader a little bit more plays. When you look at what 90 was doing with Jadeveon Clowney, he played well. You know, got another sack.
He's quietly having a pretty darn good year.
Yeah, he's having a pretty good year. No, nobody wants to give him that credit. You know, a lot of people are, you know, just because they want, I think a lot of folks here want them to fail.
People thought the five technique was going to be the demise of Jadeveon Clowney, and it was going to be the lineman graveyard because he just wasn't big and physical enough. But he has shown up quietly with, I said going into this weekend, I believe he still led the NFL in tackles for loss. Yeah. So he's having a good year.
Yeah, he is. What he's doing is he's just playing hard. I mean, and when you got a coach like, we got a coach like Anthony Weaver that's kind of, making sure you make it to the game each Sunday. Weaver's not gonna probably, and you know what? I haven't been to any practices, but I know Weaver. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I know what type of
ex-player, ex-Texan,
ex-player, good friend. I know what type of guy he is, as far as when it comes to taking care of his body and how he was when he played. You know, some days he might have had to take off just to make it to Sunday, and I understand that he understands. And listen, playing five technique is gonna take a beating on his small frame, mm-hmm, and the way he's built. But at the same time, and it's hard to say small frame when the guy's 6'6", you know what I mean? But
you know who comes to mind? And it may be a little before your time, but I'm sure because you're a student of the game. Lamar Lathan.
Oh, yeah, Lamar, yeah. But Lamar
not
is
like,
jacked,
like, a,
though,
like
yeah.
a husky, solid, beefy lineman, yeah. But as athletically gifted and ripped up, shredded, muscular as you can find, just not like that typical line defensive lineman body type.
Yeah, he wasn't. I mean, but a lot of those guys back then weren't built that way. I mean, when you look at Kevin Green now, everybody's like, oh, Kevin Green, but he was jacked, but he was never built like, you know, a true defensive lineman, even though he finished his career. I mean, you look at Clay Matthews, technically Clay Matthews Jr., not the one in Green Bay, his daddy. I mean, he finished his last few years playing defensive lineman. He was a linebacker. He was a linebacker body. You know, a lot of guys have been those tweeners.
Yep.
And still be able to play well because they have a dog mentality. They know no matter what I do, I'm going to give great effort. I'm going to get to the ball and I'm going to make things happen. And that's what he's been doing. And I love to watch what he's doing. I mean, when you look at guy like, Vince Wolf, I mean, you saw Cushing make a lot of plays this weekend.
And he was a guy being put under the microscope the week before, that was good.
But what you saw was you also saw Vince taking up those blocks for him.
Yes,
Vince even got a holding call at one point, trying to make sure the guy stayed off of Cush so he can go make the play. So you saw a lot of guys.
Simon was all over the place. I love his effort.
I do love his effort too. Even though he's a Buckeye, I love his effort.
Yeah, it's hard to swallow a Buckeye. But
you know what? When you look at this team. And you look at that defense. The defense is playing a collective effort to get the job done, and the offense is still. I mean, there's sputtering still at times.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, you know, in that game, if the coach for the Lions, can't remember his name at the time right now. It's killing me.
Jim Caldwell.
If Jim Caldwell challenges that fumble by DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
The game changes.
Big time.
Because not only they scored on that drive. The Texans scored on that drive. If the Texans don't score on that drive, they now take that ball and they go down the other way.
Thought about it at the time. And again, I go back and we were talking about in the production meeting today for this show how Bill O'Brien had one of those moments where Leckler had to tell him to challenge it. And luckily he challenged it. And I believe it was a New England game.
Yeah.
But at least they got it right.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there going, Jim Caldwell, I don't know. You better be coming down on someone's ass today because someone didn't get you enough information to take that thing out of your sock and let it fly because it actually could have saved your bacon.
It could have. And not just that, but that's when you have situations like that are game changers, that's when you use a timeout. Use a timeout. And if you lose two of them, you get it back. Or even if you use a timeout and they still don't challenge, you challenge yourself. Say, you know what? If we out of timeouts, but if they score here, the game's over anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we, put it on the sleeve. Let's roll.
Alex, you're on the line. You want to join in on the conversation? You want to talk about the Texans and Clowney? What do you got for us today?
Hey, how you guys doing today? I just want to say I'm loving what y'all are doing. Y'all have a great show.
Appreciate that, man.
And, yeah, no problem. I want to say I agree 100% wholeheartedly that the offense is definitely not what I think anyone expected it to be. I think the, you know, casual Houston fans are going to look at this game and say, yay, we won. But really, it's leaving a lot to be wanted. But there was one play I noticed, and I wanted to give props to Jadeveon Clowney. I think it was one where Theo Riddick, I believe it was, busted one up the left side. And it wasn't the linebackers or the safety who caught him. It was Jadeveon from behind who caught him and pushed him out of bounds. And I think it held him to a field goal, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it's a great call. And that's kind of what we're epitomizing the effort of Jadeveon Clowney. He's been scrutinized ever since he joined the team and broken down in terms of all the things he's done on and off the field that shows a lack of effort. But this year, I just don't think you can question the effort trap. Not only is he stayed healthy, which has always been a key with him, but aside from staying healthy, he is actually using hustle plays, which you never use synonymously with Jadeveon Clowney. You have to give him credit for this year.
Well, here's the thing. People never use hustle plays with his name because of the rap that he took his last year in college.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was out there trying not to get hurt, trying not to do things. But if you go back and look early on in his career, you go back to his high school days, like his athletic ability is what made him great. You know what I mean? So a lot of his stuff were hustle plays. Even in that Michigan game, when he played against Taylor Lewan was kind of giving him business for most of the game. But a lot of those plays outside of that big hit he had on the running back that was from Pahokee, that play, he made another humongous hit on that sideline. So it tells me he's a run-to-the-ball type of guy. And having a coach like Anthony Weaver, that's what he teaches as well. Get to the ball and get there pissed off. And that's what he's been doing.
It's That's what you've been doing your whole life. You get to the balls, and you get there pissed off. That's why you had a career in the NFL. Hey, we got some calls we still got to get to. We want to hear from you. And also, I want to hear from Travis Johnson because, again, we give you the insight you can't get anywhere else. Other people like to claim that. But when they come and play the game, they realize you can't compete with us. We bring it, and we bring it currently, more modernly, and more up to speed with today's athletics than anybody else. I want to get Travis Johnson's take on a quarterback in the NFL that declares himself to be Superman, but says that there's now times that he's a little scared back there, that he might get hurt, he doesn't feel confident anymore, and that the hits he's taking are illegal. I want to get Travis Johnson's take on that. I want to hear what you have to say as well. 713-780-ESPN. We're here till 4, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
I'm not the type of guy to blow my own horn or take all the credit, so I have to make sure that Mr. Announcer Man realizes that if it was a one-man band, that I would be lip-syncing. Because I need my crew. So it is trap shooting at point blank range. It's Travis Johnson, Joel Blank on a Monday with Nick Sherrara behind the glass. Before we get to the quarterback that I was speaking of, that basically we have audio to back it up, is a little bit, shall we say, sensitive right now and wants the commissioner to take notice. We don't want to turn our backs on our favorite people, which are our callers. Clarence, you're a regular to the show. You want to chime in on Brock Osweiler and the Texans. What do you got, my man?
Hey guys, how y'all doing?
All right, man. All right. Can everybody just wake up a little bit, please?
I want to say who that. Secondly, I like, you know, I listen to you guys. I call in regularly and I listen to everything y'all have to say. And, you know, if you say something about somebody and you talk about them religiously, you start to pick up and you notice some things. And with that being said, everything y'all said about Brock Osweiler is 100% correct. I watched that game all the way until I had to go to work. He cannot stop staring down his receivers for the life of him. Every time he threw a deep ball, the safety knew where he was going, and the safety was always there on each deep ball he threw. To Will Fuller, to every receiver he threw down 10 yards or more, the safety was always there. Almost making a play on it. And if he don't stop that, he's going to throw more interceptions than probably Brett Favre in his career.
Hey, whoa. Don't go to my jugular now. I mean, you were at Clarence. Another great call. But when you start going there.
But he said throw more picks than Brett Favre, which Brett Favre technically is the NFL all-time leading pick.
I know, but that hurts me anyway.
Why does it hurt you?
Because no, I love Brett Favre. I'm just saying, you know, he's going to get up there if he don't stop throwing picks like that and staring down the receivers.
Clarence, if they ever remake the Green Mile, I think that now you have an opportunity. I want to let you know because we love when you call just for the sultry bass pipes that you bring when you bring the knowledge. And you know what? The other thing that I have to worry about on that, Clarence, that I mentioned today because I'm the one that's been saying most of the time how bad he's been staring down guys. The other thing is what Travis and I were talking about. Now he has a preconceived notion when he goes behind center of where he's going with his dump down. When he's going through his progressions, and he's not looking for the guys that are his speed guys or his playmaking guys on the outside. No. He's looking for the safety valve. He's just dumping it down to the tight end.
That's it, because he knows they're open.
Yeah, and that's a big problem to me because of the fact that that's easier for defenses to contain and to It condenses the entire playbook even further, which is already a conservative playbook, and it becomes a bigger problem. Clarence, we appreciate the call, man. Don't ever be a stranger. Keep doing what you're doing, and we're going to keep doing what we can to make you happy on the radio. The other thing that I want to get to, guys, because it was bothering me, I saw the press conference. I saw the game itself. I went back and looked at some of the hits. Cam Newton's not happy, and he decided after the game, which was actually a win against the Arizona Cardinals, they blasted Arizona. I didn't see that coming. But he took a couple of shots, and he feels like he's being singled out, and so he decided to let it fly, not in a vulgar way, But he just decided to let his feelings be known in his press conference.
I don't know. It's not fun. It's not fun. It's really taking the fun out of the game for me, honestly. It really is, because at times I don't even feel safe, right? And enough is enough. You know, I plan on talking to Commissioner Goodell about this, but it's not fun. And I don't know what I have to do. I mean, I showed a lot of frustration today, and I apologize to the referee, you know, who I was talking to. But I don't think it's a person that can go through what I go through and still keep their head. You know what I'm saying? And hits to the head, that's one thing. But when you're not protected in the pocket, that's another thing. And the story of my life ever since I came in is just, well, we missed that one. I'm sorry. I try to get it. That's bullcrap. When you're constantly seeing flags not being thrown, and to see other quarterbacks getting it, lesser hits, lesser physical hits, then it's taking the fun for me out. I'm just being honest with that.
Strongly,
I could have tore my ACL. That's the breaking point.
All right, so
that's the breaking
point. Cam had a lot to say. Before I get to Travis, the one thing that came to my mind, I listened to the press conference, I saw the highlights, but the one thing that I thought about equating it to my career is, there's no doubt Shaquille O'Neal was supposedly officiated like every other player in the NBA, but when you went down and looked at the film, there's no way to dispute the fact that he was officiated differently because they thought that he had a huge advantage over anyone else that played the game at that time from a size perspective and an athleticism perspective. And Cam is a big guy. So I thought about that, and I thought about the fact that as much as everybody says they're all on an even playing field and everybody is officiated the same way, there does have to be that consideration that he's such a large, intimidating figure that people think he can take it. I'm not saying that that's the case with the officials, but that's the first thing that came to mind. And the other thing that came to mind was something we talked about early in the year. He whines to the officials so much that what I've seen over the years in the NBA is if a guy whines to the refs every single play down, chances are they're not going to blow the whistle the next time because they're like, man, I'm tired of hearing him whine. And if I make the call, then it looks like I'm succumbing to the pressure of his whines. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no question. And here's the thing. You know, from the big parent company over ESPN, Stephen A. mentioned this morning on First Take, was that Aaron Rodgers, they've missed 14 roughing the passes on Aaron Rodgers. They've missed like 11 on Alex Smith. They've missed already. Tom Brady's only played in how many games? And they missed 7 on Tom Brady. And those are guys that still have been missed more than his have been missed. So he doesn't have a leg to stand on when he says that. I think, you know, what he's inferring to, you know, but he'll never say it, you know what I mean, because his brand won't allow him to say it, is that he feels like, you know, because of his paint job, he gets a little bit different. But he can't say that because at the same time, the evidence doesn't back it up. At the end of the day is, you're a running, if you get past the line of scrimmage, you're a runner. If you're behind, if you get out the pocket, I got to treat you as such.
See, that's a big thing that has to be factored in that not everybody is in tune with. Once you leave the pocket, you are treated like any other running back, wide receiver, or tight end.
That's it. Because now you leave the culture. You leave the protection of that pocket. You leave the sanctity of that pocket. And here's the thing. When you talk about he doesn't feel safe, well, then quit. Ain't nothing safe about an NFL football field.
That's what I was going to ask you. Because like, it's up to the line to protect him and keep him safe. Not the really the NFL. Unless it's egregious, right?
Man, but ain't nothing was egregious. Now, when Calais fell into his legs yesterday, yeah, they should have called it.
That should have been a penalty.
But it wasn't, and I know you had thought at first that it was real dirty, but if you watch the rest of the game, like if you watch the game at when it happened and when he was down, Calais actually stood right there to make sure he talked to him afterwards. He apologized. Like, you know, it was one of the things where he was literally falling forward from, and Calais is 6'8". Mm-hmm. You know, just as big as, or he's bigger than he is, and was falling forward from the line of scrimmage and happened to fall at his feet. So that wasn't a dirty, I mean, it wasn't dirty. Should he got caught? Yeah, to get caught. Will Calais get fined? Yeah, he'll get fined. But at the end of the day, if you get fined and they don't call it, what does it matter? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Here's the thing. You still have to play this game. You're not the only guy not getting calls. But you're the only guy that continues to whine about it. When things are going, now you aren't having, you got hit the same way last year.
Oh, yeah.
But you won MVP. Y'all was winning games. You weren't complaining last year.
So let me ask you this. I'm going to throw this out there. We'll get this and get people's perspective on this as well, but I definitely want to break it down with you. If that's the case, we know what he went through last year. You just broke down the numbers Stephen A. Smith had this morning about how many quarterbacks have already suffered roughing the passers that weren't called. Is there a problem in the NFL that they are not calling it to the letter of the law in the rule book and that they're letting too much get away from you? I know that
there's too many rules already.
Everybody's already worried about it. Some people say you have to protect the quarterback at all costs. Other people are saying it's too much of a sissy league anyway because they're taking all the plays out of the game that made football what it is.
Yeah.
But the question at hand is, when you look at Alex Smith sliding yesterday, and yet even though he slid headfirst, did everything he was supposed to do, he got his head crushed up against the turf and shoved down, and people said that should have been a foul. And there's all the hits on Keenum week in, week out, and Herm Edwards and all the guys at ESPN did a whole montage of all the hits that haven't been called this week. Is it another case of the league being too lenient, or should they get back to the rule book? Don't answer that. We're going to let you stew on it for a little bit.
Let me simmer on that.
Yeah, and then when we welcome you back to where the magic happens, Leon will ask you, what's your quandary? And then you will have a response, because we are ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hey, folks.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank, powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
And if you want to infuse energy into your future, I now give you Travis Johnson with today's giveaway.
Caller 4, this morning at 6:45 and again at 8:45, Mike and Mike announced the winning word and gave you the opportunity to win a trip to the college football playoffs. Now your chance to enter the now you have a chance to be entered and to win the trip to the bowl game. Text the winning word to 713-780-3776 right now for your chance to win. The ESPN prize, which includes a Mike and Mike road to the college football playoff long sleeve t-shirt, ball cap, and ESPN 97.5 drawstring backpack and t-shirt. Plus, be entered to win one of our local grand prize trips to either the Sugar Bowl or the Cotton Bowl. Caller 4, you're up.
Texter number 4, just please to make sure include your email, name, number, all your contact
information. Get all your pertinent information along with the text and the word of the day.
Yes. Exactly.
I'm going to tell you something right now. The Hooked on Phonics that you've been working with, It's really turned the corner for you.
It really has.
You have advanced in ways that I have never expected in the past.
Well, you know,
now, I give your wife some credit on that too, because she's been working with you.
And really, it's not the wife. It is the wife, but it's the kids' homework that's harder than doing a dissertation for a master's or a thesis for a doctorate. It's
the
incredible.
The fact that you use dissertation is impressive.
Well, you know, I actually had to do one.
You are edumacated. You know that? Even though you're university.
I thought about going back to law school.
Oh, was he about to take a little shot at FSU?
No, I was not.
You know, we're the Harvard of the South.
I thought that was Duke.
No, we are the Harvard of the South.
Well, actually, they're the Aardvark of the South. There's a difference. He was trying to rag on the Wisconsin education.
For all those who couldn't get into Florida State, they went to Wisconsin.
Well, but I don't know where Wisconsin is, but I know where Wisconsin is. I also know that where Wisconsin sits is a lot higher than Florida State this morning.
Yeah.
I just had to mention that.
Damn.
You see, I'm going there. Because going into the weekend, we were talking about our two teams making that late sneaky push to get into the top 5 or 6. And then you had to go and make a poo-poo all over the platter.
Man, when I tell you, them guys ran my blood pressure so high.
Oh, I saw your tweets. You do not hide it much.
No. And then, you know, the crazy part is, so, like, Florida State, so the coach is like, Trev, you all right? You know, my D-line coach, he's still there. And so I'll get a call from, like, I'll look because of some of my tweets sometimes.
Like,
I'll get a call from Florida State, like, man, you know, is everything good? Like, are you good? I'm like, yeah, I'm good, but at some point, we got to start holding some people accountable for some of the foolishness that goes on out here.
Speaking of holding people accountable for foolishness that goes on around here, I want to tell you guys something. You guys tell me if I'm right or wrong. And if I'm right, you guys love to be Twitter warriors. I would love to see you guys step in on this one. I was telling you guys before the show that, you know, I watched the Packers yesterday. It was a tough loss, but I was actually impressed with the way the offense played and all the guys that were injured. Well, after the game, there's a guy that has a blog, you know, and I always want to hear what everybody back home is saying about the team.
What's his name?
So his name's Michael Rodney.
What's his Twitter account?
And it's at Packers Notes.
I bet y'all won't go and troll him the rest of the day.
At Packers Notes. So you know what? I always keep it clean on Twitter for the most. I don't cuss. And I try to keep it above board. But this guy's like the black cloud. Like, he follows this team, but all he wants to do is, like, bash them and then say how, like, one of his tweets was, you know, I look at the schedule the rest of the year and I see them winning 10 games possibly, but then I don't think that's possible and I've never been wrong. And I was like, man, why do you got to be the black cloud? I mean, you look at the way the offense played with all their backups, all the receivers, all the guys that were out, no tailbacks, all the different things. And he basically started coming at me. And I said, look, man, let your accomplishments speak for themselves. If you were right 9 times out of 10, the people follow you for a reason because you get good information. Yeah. But you don't have to blow your own horn like Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass or Chuck Mangione or Wynton Marsalis. You let people realize they're getting good information, and you stick with them. And he goes, hey, thanks for the feedback. Bye. And I was like, whoa, man.
Did he say it with the list? Thanks for the feedback.
He did not do it like Leon, but I have not experienced what this man might look like in person. Well, all I know is that he's a bit sensitive.
He is guessing.
And as a professional of the trade, I just expected that he might be a little bit more forthcoming with information, but also be able to accept when I might give him some rebuttal. I said rebuttal. That he might like. You should not want to run from rebuttal. You should want to get into rebuttal.
Yeah, exactly.
So, I actually apologized to the guys. Like, whoa, man, I didn't know that you were sensitive and we hit a soft spot. I said, but the fact of the matter is that, you know, people all have a lot of passion towards the team. And as a professional, I figured you could take some rebuttal. He blocked me. I was trying to show you. Not that I was trying to find the guy, but I was like telling you guys the story going, this guy, just by having you and I, we get enough clowns out here that like to take personal shots and cuss and everything like that. Those are the kind of guys that you've seen me kind of annihilate from time to time.
And I tell you the truth, I don't block people. Only people I block when they get to talking all that racist foolishness. Those are the only people I block. But otherwise, if you got an opinion, you know, we always talk about it. Opinions are like buttholes. Everybody's got them. One. And most of the time, they all stink.
Yeah.
You know,
but at the same time, that's what we've all come to realize Twitter is, where people can freely voice what they think. But I did not cross the line. I did not take a shot at the guy.
Yeah.
And then he blocked me. So at Packers Notes, a guy by the name of Michael Rodney had his panties in a wad, and he just decided that I shouldn't follow him anymore. I am going to be okay. I fully believe that I will make it to tomorrow feeling okay about myself.
I think all of our faithful listeners, El Jefe, Lamont, all of y'all, go troll this guy. Matter of fact,
Josh Fernandez, all those guys.
If y'all want me to, I'll be the first to troll. And think about, if you want to, call in and tell us what you think we should write him.
Packers Notes. I'd like to see the crew in the living room take a little action. You know, Trav was talking about even with Dre, how, you know, he's the hit man. He'll be the man of the bouncer type issues. He'll take matters into our hands for us. But if you want to be in on the mix, I just want to share that story with you because I thought it was a little bit sensitive, a little bit soft. But hey, it's all because I'm passionate about my team. I follow everything that people say, not that I always agree with them. All right, so before we go any further, Waylon, you've been very patient. You've been waiting. I'm not sure that everybody else is going to be as passionate about this as you are, but you want to talk about the Saints and their potential to make the playoffs. Welcome to the show.
Hello?
Waylon, what's up, man?
Waylon, what's up?
I have a question. You think the Saints will make the playoffs?
Hey, Waylon, I ain't going to lie, Waylon. I almost did. I was telling my guy that I didn't want to take the conversation because we don't watch the Saints like that.
Now, I watched them yesterday, and I was happy they did what they did, Waylon, because I always am happy when the Seahawks lose, being an NFC guy. But I'll say this. The Saints are to the NFC what the Chargers are to the AFC, but I think the Chargers have a better chance of making the playoffs than the Saints, even though the NFC is somewhat down. But you know what? They could be spoilers, and they might be able to sneak in. I mean, as long as you got Drew Brees, you got a shot, but they got to stop some people in order to possibly be in that mix. But we'll see what happens. At least they did me a favor yesterday, and they beat the Seahawks. We appreciate the call, Waylon. Thanks for hanging on and waiting so long. Trav, with that being said, NFC, a lot of losses that you didn't see coming. Aside from Dallas, who won a game that I thought that they should have lost, They found a way to win.
Yes, they did.
They're 6-1. Dak's not going anywhere now, according to Jerry Jones. But aside from Minnesota, you think he is?
I wouldn't let him go anywhere. But I mean,
not saying leave the team. I'm saying he's still going to be the starter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Dak played bad for 55 minutes and then showed up in the last 5 minutes. I mean, he basically pulled a Tony Romo yesterday.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Because Tony Romo didn't play. He had a headset.
Exactly. But I mean, but that's what Tony used to always do. He used to pull magic tricks out of his, you know, out of his lower. You know what I mean?
Out of his rebuttal.
Out of his rebuttal. And speaking of Lisp, not to change the subject,
which you are.
But did you? The greatest seventh inning stretch ever. Would you watch Bill Murray do the seventh inning stretch for the Cubs other day?
Yeah,
it was phenomenal.
I felt bad for Vince Vaughn the night before too, because they had just taken a pounding the inning before, and he was trying to fire up the city of Chicago.
Yeah,
but yeah, Bill Murray doing, was it Sylvester the Cat or Daffy Duck?
He did Daffy Duck.
It was one or the other. Yeah. I knew it. Yeah, and he had to say that as part of it. Yeah, it was pretty entertaining.
And you know what I didn't realize was that he was, not only did he play in the movie as Bill Murray when he came in Space Jam, but I didn't realize he was also the Daffy Duck voice.
I didn't realize that either. Yeah. I thought they used the Warner Brothers Daffy Duck voice.
No, I think they used
his.
Hey,
Nick, can we check this out? Someone either nationally or locally said Bill Murray, and I want to say it was one of the local newscasts, Bill Murray, a Chicago White Sox fan, was rooting for the Cubs. As far as I've ever known, Bill Murray has always been a Chicago Cubs fan.
Exactly.
I mean, he's been knee-deep in all three. Him and John Cusack are the guys they keep going to, by the way. Some of the greatest films ever made, John Cusack films.
I agree.
Including Gross Point Blank, which doesn't get any better than that unless you're
Did they make that up for you?
They thought about it. I wanted a little bit of the royalty.
Chicago Tribune who published that.
Chicago Tribune said he was a White Sox fan?
Yeah.
Wow, I always equated and associated Bill Murray with Cubs. I don't think the series is over. Do you?
No, it's not. It's not. You know, his crazy part is Lester did a great job yesterday. I mean, this is what I don't understand is why everybody doesn't steal him. That's what pissed me off about the Dodgers.
A lot of things piss you off, and you probably shouldn't say it, but that's okay.
The Dodgers should have been stealing every time they got on base with Lester. Because he has yips going to first.
Are the Cubs done? It's a question that we can answer as well. We can address baseball and also the tree that fell in the woods. We can do whatever we need to do. You come on out of the woodwork and get on the show, and we'll make sure we talk about what you want to talk about. We are here till 4 o'clock. We are ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.